day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Let me take you straight to page one of The Australian today, the feature story that's headed Chinese troops to come next. We're talking about the Solomon Islands deal with China. Actually, if you want to get more of this, there's an excellent article there, page 13 of The Australian today by Peter Jennings. Really gives you an insight into, well, what's at stake here, as did Greg Sheridan on Sky News last night. It's also quoted in page 6 of The Australian today. He says the signing of the China-Solomon Islands Security Treaty is a very bad day for Australia, one of the worst days for our national security since the end of the Vietnam War. Now, let me quote from the front page article. Australia and the United States are bracing for the rapid deployment of Chinese security forces to the Solomon Islands, fearing Beijing will move to seal a controversial new security agreement by putting boots on the ground as soon as possible. This is 24 hours or 36 hours after I've listened to one of the so-called experts saying, oh, look, don't overdo this this matter. It's not that serious, because it's not as if they're going to be establishing a naval base, you know, any time soon. It could be 10 years, 15 years. Bizarre that people are so relaxed about this development, but not all, thank God. Strategists said that China would move as fast as it can to establish a foothold in the country, as the Solomon Islands opposition warned that the country's Prime Minister, Manasseh Sogavare, would use the Chinese presence to tighten his hold on power. Bizarre developments not far from our shores here in North Queensland. Now, I've got Dr. Anna Hayes on the line. Anna's the Senior Lecturer of Political Science at James Cook University. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly not encouraging developments. At least now we've got enough people out there having a look at this development and seeing there could be real threats here, not in the long term, in the short to medium term for Australia and the United States.
That's right, John. So it is a worrying development, and having more details now in terms of the draft of the framework agreement between China and the Solomon Islands government, there's some really interesting details in that, including, as you say, the ability to deploy armed police, military personnel and other law enforcement and armed forces to the Solomon Islands.
Well, the point made here in the first couple of paragraphs is very important too. You've got the opposition there in the Solomon Islands pointing out that, hang on a minute, this Prime Minister, Sogavare, has done a deal with the Chinese, which would actually easily be used to tighten his hold on power. He could be there indefinitely because of the deal he's signed with the Chinese.
That's right. So, I mean, with this agreement, it's very similar to what we saw with Pakistan. So the Chinese government establishing with the Pakistani government a new wing of their military under the guise of protecting Chinese interests and infrastructure that they were developing in Pakistan. And that ended up being a garrison force of around 15,000 Pakistani military. But in this document, the interesting detail is that they clearly recognise they're not going to be able to amass that size of force in the Solomon Islands. So it's very clear to me they are planning on potentially having Chinese military force there to protect, using the language of the Chinese government, to protect their infrastructure and interests in the Solomon Islands.
Well, the mere presence of the People's Liberation Army on Solomon Islands soil is a matter of concern, whether it's a huge force, medium force, relatively small force, because the ability of China to actually deploy troops at short notice is obviously quite well known now by the United States. They've been following these developments in recent years. The build-up of arms in China has been more than substantial. Australia now is noticing that this expansion, if you like, in military weapons in China is really, really becoming a significant threat, starting to respond, but very, very late in the view of a lot of commentators. Tell me about the specific matter of the whereabouts now of these Chinese forces, possibly, if you like, halfway between Australia and New Zealand, for that matter, and the United States. What sort of threat does that represent?
Well, certainly, the document talks about naval visits, port visits, so there will be some naval infrastructure there, whether it's the level of a full port or not. I think, is by the by, because what it does is it extends China's blue water naval capacities into the Pacific area. So this is really quite a significant uptick in China's reach. And we saw this too when they established a base in Djibouti that actually extended their blue water capabilities into the Indian Ocean. So they're now potentially, you know, going to have the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean covered.
Well, the other point too that I think needs to be pointed out, our Australian presence has not been withdrawn. There's no suggestion it's going to be withdrawn or indeed reduced. So you'll have the Chinese forces now potentially very soon, almost immediately, potentially, the Chinese forces cheek by jowl with the Australian presence in the Solomons.
That's right. And, you know, the Solomons are divided. We all know that. There is still division in terms of ethnic tensions, but also divisions about their support or lack of support for the People's Republic of China. There still is quite a significant group of people who support Taiwan. So this has real potential to inflame further unrest among the Solomon Islands population themselves.
Was mentioned too in coverage, it might have been by Greg Sheridan, there's been good coverage on this matter at Sky News late in the evening, but there was mention made of the sometimes squalid behaviour by some of these Pacific leaders. Obviously, they quite relaxed in some cases to have money slipped into their pocket in matters like this. Do you suspect there could have been foul play involved in the signature of this agreement?
Well, look, I think what we've seen with China's approach is that it's very open to having no strings attached money lending to all sorts of states across the world. So there have been clear cases of them providing loans to incredibly corrupt and authoritarian states. Now, I don't want to draw the Solomon Islands into that, but there's really no checks and balances. Often there's no transparency or accountability of the funds. So funds are very easy to disappear along the way.
Mm.
And what we've also seen is that China has put in a practice of development that is a security development nexus. So they make any sort of development projects that they engage in contingent upon increased security dynamics. So whether that's support for them internationally, at different forums, even down on the ground, putting in bases or increasing their footprint. I mean, these are all very concerning developments within our region.
Yeah. And I can understand you also tiptoeing through the tulips on some of those matters, very sensitive, as is this one. There have been claims that Australia should have, in the middle of this election campaign, our foreign minister heading off to the Solomons too, to have discussions with the Prime Minister there. What are your thoughts on that, if you're allowed to comment?
Well, look, I think that they sent the Minister for International Development and the Pacific, so he was an appropriate minister to send. I think we could have increased our representation with the foreign minister also attending. But, you know, Zed Felith Tesselia, he is the Minister for International Development and the Pacific. And I think potentially too, you know, when we think about this, Scott Morrison did make the comment that, you know, the Solomons are an independent sovereign state. They can enter agreements with whomever they want.
Yes.
We do need to remember that. We can't actually be forcing the Solomons to do what we want them to do.
Sure.
However, I think perhaps there can be further talks with the Solomon Islands around this, particularly because of the concerns about, Sal Guevara perhaps using this as a way of potentially holding on to power.
Yes.
I think both parties do need to reflect at this time on the fact that the last Prime Minister who served a full time in office was John Howard. And again, as I said last week in an interview, the revolving door prime ministership on both sides of the political fence has really not helped us. So finger pointing at this time, I think there needs to be a little bit of reflection on what has really got us to this point. We have taken our eye off the ball.
Yeah.
We need to catch up now, hopefully with the Kirk Campbell visit from the US. If we can send Maurice Payne, if we can have further discussions down the track. Let's see what develops. Of course, there is going to be an election also in the Solomon Islands. And, you know, sometimes what we've seen with some of these agreements is that a new administration coming in tries to overturn them or get rid of them because they aren't entirely on board with the conditions when they see the devil in the detail.
Yes. Very comprehensive. Thank you, Anna.
My pleasure.
Dr. Anna Hayes is the Senior Lecturer, Political Science at our James Cook University, 14 to 10.